Welcome, Photon Warriors. Commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
And welcome back to the Movies Hate You show.
Movies Hate You show.
Yeah, that's right. Here we are. Todd Sheets in the house. Todd Sheets, our producer. He's also the owner and operator of Jackalope Radio. And he's also dresses like Batman and goes around all the time, but he doesn't hurt anyone. Todd Sheets, welcome. Thank you.
Happy to be all I can be.
Do you ever do, like, do you go to, like, children's hospitals and see, like, sick children dressed
in
Batman?
I do. And that's that's one of the things, man. That's one of the biggest payoffs is, you know, because the suit is real, the kids definitely believe that they've just met the real deal. It's not some store-bought piece of crap.
Now, see, I like that. I would do that. As corny as I think it is that you dress up, I would go do that because that's cool and fun. And if Batman showed up to me when I was a kid, I would have been really happy and impressed.
Mr. Ree, I think he just called me corny, dude.
Kudos to you, man. Mr. Ree is here.
When I was a kid, and I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, I remember a guy in a Batman costume, in an Adam West type Batman costume, came to our local, and I'm from Nebraska, came to our local shopping, supermarket or whatever, and that was a big deal. I remember that was a big deal. We have a photo of the guy and everything, I had no idea that you do that. I think that's really, really cool.
Well, thank you, sir.
I think that's really awesome. I had no idea. I was just asking you off the cuff because I said, the real Batman showed up to a hospital this week.
He sure did, and I'm very pleased about that. Class act, dude.
Listen, let's start this off with thanks for joining us. This is the Movies Hate You show. My name is Rob. You can get us at movieshateyou@gmail.com. Not that you will. Thanks for listening. We're going to go into some talk about movies, right? So today is going to be about movies. The show is called Movies Hate You. Not necessarily always about movies. Quite boring after a while, to be honest with you. And fanboys like Todd and Mr. Ree, the famous Lee Peterson, the co-host here on the show, they just want to talk about, Fulci films and... this kill in that movie, and it just gets boring after a while, so we kind of go all over the place. But this week, we have a topic that does go all over the place, but has to do with movies. And I think we need to talk about what happened in Aurora, Colorado. Now, it's a week old already, and...
Not quite.
There's been... Oh, just about, man.
In a few hours.
When this airs, it'll be over a week old.
Yeah, I guess it'll be close.
You're pretending we're live? Are we live tonight?
We could be.
I mean, it's less than a week old as when we're taping it, but I was talking as if the show was live, but wasn't.
Oh,
but
yes,
you blew it.
Yes,
but
that's
you
right.
You blew it.
Sorry.
You do this all the time.
Sorry, man.
Do people really care if a show is live? I mean, do they? Because I listen to radio, and now here, you just listen to a best of, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't care if it's good. I guess it's if it's topical. I mean, I don't want to hear something about news that happened 10 years ago.
I guess. I don't either.
Well, the world is abuzz with this movie house massacre, as they call it, the Aurora, Colorado shooter who chose to gear up and go into a theater and do, you know what he did, and happened to be at a screening, midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises, the third Batman film in the latest franchise. Todd, I've seen you've been very pro-studio and very pro-movie during this whole thing, and I found that very interesting. Almost as a preemptive strike against people who would try
to... Well, I knew it was coming, yeah. That's what they do here in this country. They blame everything except for what needs to be blamed, which is an idiot with a gun.
Right. True.
I knew the studio would do the right thing. People were, like, up their butts before they even had a chance to do anything. They're in Paris, for God's sakes, getting ready for a giant premiere, and everyone's yelling at everybody and trying to throw the blame around, and, oh, you didn't do... And I'm like, hold on, first of all, you know, I'm tired of people demanding things just because someone made a movie. It is not a filmmaker's policy to do anything to hurt anyone, but the fact is, if it happens, just like what happened in England with Chucky, it is not the fault of a filmmaker like myself or you or anyone else to have to basically field everything in your life after that, like you're the babysitter for the world. And you know what? It's an art form, and it's a creative art form, and there's going to be violence, and there's going to be tits, and there's going to be whatever there is, and that's how it is. And if someone can't handle that, those people are sick bastards, because those are all things that we deal with every day in life.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
All right.
At least Batman gives us a hero to look up to. I mean, at least it's a guy that in the movie itself said three times, no guns. You know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, he's not like an old American Superman kind of superhero, or even a Robert Downey Jr. where you like to go have a beer with him. I wouldn't want to be anywhere around Bruce Wayne as played.
I could learn a whole lot from Bruce, and so does Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
What is this, the two-year-old hour?
Yes.
We can learn a lot from Bruce Wayne? Come on, dude.
Are you calling me names again?
Well, you know, because you're saying you want to go actually have a drink with a real Bruce Wayne, as if there is such a person. I'm talking about, you know, the characterization of this comic book character by Bale. Compare him to Downey Stark. I mean,
yeah, but Downey Stark is an alcoholic freak in the second one. He about killed people, remember?
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, that's okay, man. You know.
What about Mr. Ree? What does he think of all this?
Well, I'm hearing myself, Todd, by the way. I'm hearing an echo of myself.
I'm sorry. That's what happens sometimes.
Yeah, I like Batman, too. I like him because he's dark. I don't like Superman. I never did when I was a kid. I always liked Batman. But Batman was corny, too, back in the 60s and early 70s. You know, it didn't get dark until the 80s. But, yes, it's a dark character. I like it because I'm a dark character, or I tend to think I am on the inside. And I think that's the point of tonight's... I don't want to talk about what this guy did. We all know what he did. And I want to talk about gun control. I know Mr. Reed does, but we can. And I think that's what gets lost in a case like this. And when somebody like Todd, when you're doing the right thing, defending the film, defending Warner Brothers, doing the right thing, you know, art and commerce, but there is an emotional attachment we make to these things, which you prove by just fighting with me over Bruce Wayne versus Tony Stark. Two things that don't exist in reality.
Well, I don't think I'm fighting. What I'm doing is I'm trying to explain that, you know, the thing is, we can't possibly blame the movie because the guy had never seen the movie, first of all.
Okay. But, okay. Yeah, I'm not trying to sound like a conservative talk show host. I'm not saying blame The Dark Knight Rises.
But it had nothing to do with the movie, because if the movie would have been 3 weeks old, Rob, he would have picked The Expendables 2, or he would have picked The Avengers.
Right. And then,
wherever there's a bunch of people at.
No one's denying that. No one's denying that. And I can tell you're very passionate about this. But
only because he hurt innocent people that were... reminded me of myself, dude. I mean, these guys they stood 9 hours outside in the heat to see this movie that they love the character so much. And this guy came in and where they felt they were safe and it violated their lives. And it's just like, wow, how dare he think he can do that? You know, it's terrible. That's our sanctity, man. We've all grown up in that place. I'm not even talking about what movie it was. It could have been Fulci, for all we know. My thing is, wherever there's a big crowd, this guy just wanted to go in there and hurt people. And I feel like, dude, that's like our church, you know what I mean? I mean, we don't go to church. I mean, I don't. Maybe you do. But I don't go to church because that's kind of is my church. That's where I grew up. That was my sanctity. That was a place where I felt safe. I could go and be scared, or I could go and be excited, watch action movies, whatever I wanted to do, martial arts, learn about the Middle East, whatever I wanted to do. I could do it in the safety of a movie theater. Felt cozy, felt happy there. You know, our childhood we spent there. And this guy came in and broke that bond that we have and caused people to be afraid to go to the one place where they could escape shit like this. And that was this movie theaters. You could escape reality there. And this guy forced it down their throats. And that just breaks my heart for the people involved.
There really hasn't been any correlation with 9/11, but I think there ought to be, certainly on a smaller scale. But like you said, the people who were in there, this was their safe place. I mean, this is the safest of all places. If you can't go into, even in Colorado that has insane gun laws, you can't. The movie theater is one place where you can't carry a gun. It's like any place else you can carry them in a supermarket, wherever. You can't carry them into a movie theater. That's like off limits, and that is like a safe haven for people like us, movie nuts, film nuts, and especially those people who were there, like you said, opening night. These are the diehards. These are the serious people that stood on line for 9 hours to get into this movie. There, he had the audience. He handpicked his audience as being. I mean, this was. Who knows if we're ever going to find out why he did this? If he even knows, if he's going to tell us. But he was really smart. He handpicked his audience to be the most vulnerable and the most of something, right. In the same way that whoever knocked down the Twin Towers did that. I mean, that was a statement. That was more than just killing people. And again, I'm not comparing because obviously more people lost their lives in 9/11, but I think it is a similar statement.
You bring up a couple of interesting things. The first one is the sanctity of the film, the movie theater itself, the cocoon that it is. And after this happened, I thought to myself, well, how many times have I been at the back of a theater where there is no exit? You have to walk down the stairs to get, you're trapped. You're like a rat in a corner when you go into the theater. And I've seen violence break out in theaters, a fist fight, a shove, a push, but nothing where I ever felt like, oh, somebody's going to pull out a gun. I never thought in any time I've been in a theater, somebody was going to pull out a gun. And I grew up in theaters where people threw fireworks at the screen and fought and fist fights and knife fights and everything in the old grindhouses. So, and not even then did I think, oh, there's going to be a gun. I never said to myself, past that experience in my whole life, said, oh, well, if I go in here now, I hope somebody doesn't pull out a gun. Like, I never thought that. I thought that walking in certain places in New York City, but I never thought that in a movie theater, even in New York City, which is weird, and it brings up the fact that we really let ourselves go when we go into a movie theater. We are in this, it's a collective experience, but it's supposed to be a quiet, personal experience that is a shared experience, which is kind of weird. And if the film's done right, and the movie is designed to completely control you, from the moment it starts to the moment it ends, with music and the editing style and the sound design and the Foley and, the lighting, and everything is designed to pull you into this other world. So it's kind of this weird portal into our own subconscious. We do let ourselves go when we go into the theater. When the lights go down, your mood changes, and you go somewhere else for 2-3 hours, whatever it is.
I agree.
And it's a beautiful thing. And it's an interesting thing because it's something that's not very studied. It's something that, I would love to, I see a study with everybody in the theater has probes on their head, and there's some scientists trying to figure out, where do we go when we go into a movie theater? It's almost like a dream-like state. Now, take this clown, no pun intended, who goes in, however he did it, whatever, he gets the guns and goes in, he tries to break everybody out of that, or not. Maybe he was hoping, he was a neuroscience major, guy was smart, he knew the brain. He thought to himself, let's say, and I don't know this, where can I get people at their most vulnerable? I mean, look, guys, sitting in a movie theater is the same as sitting on the toilet taking a crap. You are so vulnerable. And that's something Hitchcock said when he did Psycho. When are you most vulnerable?
Oh, it's when you're sitting on the toilet, when you turn it into a shower scene. But that's the evolution of it. It's like, you are the most vulnerable then. And it's the same when you go into the theater. You are completely in the state of letting go of your control of the situation. You know, your pants are down, so to speak. And this guy either took advantage of it because he was a neuroscience major and figured this out, or had read about it, that there's this process. Proven by people, A, when it first started, thought it was part of the movie, the sounds. They thought he was a, you know, some goofy kid walking in with a costume on. And also, what we have to think about is when we're in that state, when we're zoned out and we're focused on something, our reaction time is completely brought down. So, you know, I've seen a couple of internet muscles, you know, these guys, I think they're tough guys on Facebook or whatever, say, oh, if I was there, I would have grabbed the guy and blah, blah, blah. And that's our first instinct to say, oh, Jesus, if I was, you know, there's 50 guys in the theater, just jump the guy. You know, you might get killed, but it's better than sitting there like cowering in the corner to get shot by the guy. At least have a chance, throw a punch at him or something. But you don't understand, when you put yourself and you're zoned out like that and you're completely engulfed in this other world, you're taken, you know, Christopher Nolan's taking you into this other world. To get pulled out of that is jarring, and it takes your mind a few seconds, if not a minute, to kind of get back to the reality of, oh, I'm sitting in a movie theater with 50 other people or 100 other people. So I think that this kid was smart in that he took advantage of that situation, but he also knew about Colorado's gun laws because he came fully dressed to have a gunfight. You know, he didn't come in, it wasn't like the Columbine boys, you know, where they just walk around with baseball caps on their heads. This guy had the full riot gear. He was ready to have a firefight. So he thought maybe somebody in the theater would have a gun, which they didn't, or they did, we don't know. But, you know, then he surrenders to cops, which I don't understand. He could have had the firefight there and killed himself. But anyway, there's been conspiracy theories about this guy and Manchurian candidate stuff. Mr. Reeves looked into it. You know, we talked about it. I'm sorry I'm ranting on this, but I really think that, you know, if I go out and start torturing people and 6 months from now I get caught and I say, well, I learned it from the Hostel movies, how to cut off the fingers and all that, the people who are not completely there mentally, who take that stuff and take it literally or believe they're in the movie. Because I sometimes walk out of a movie and I want to be the star of the movie. I want to be that guy. I want to be the hero. I want to go out and fight a battle, or I want to go out and make somebody laugh, whatever it is.
I want to be Django and I want to kill white folks.
Well, whatever it is, man, you relate to this stuff. I want to be Franco Nero's Django, man. I want that coffin with that with that Gatling gun, man. I mean, you know, especially when you're younger, man, this guy's in his 20s, when you're younger, you really identify with stuff on screen, whether it's TV or movies, even music or whatever. So you can't, you know, I know it sucks for Warner Brothers or for Batman or whatever, but he said he wanted to be the Joker, or he may or may not have said that or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, he didn't actually say it, but the press said it.
Yeah, the press said it. Regardless, even if you said, hey, I read a couple comic books and I want to be the Joker, it doesn't matter. It's not the Joker's fault or the person who created the Joker. Now, I'm not saying stop it. You know, Taxi Driver, you know, that was already, you know, come and gone in theaters, so the same controversy wasn't there. But I'm sure there was talk about pulling Taxi Driver from, you know, home video when Hinckley did his business.
Kind of goofy, considering the fact, you know, I mean, you can never pull art because some fool loses his mind, though.
Exactly, but let me tell you something. When I was 23 years old, I wanted to be Travis Bickle. I wanted to be badass and kill bad guys and whatever, you know what I mean, do something. And I had that angst. I had that anger in me. I had that, you know, I'm going to shave my head into the mohawk. And dudes do that. To this day, they see that movie and they shave their head into the mohawk. That same germ of imitation, and that's okay. I'm not saying those are bad movies. I'm not saying that they should go away. I'm not saying Nolan's responsible, Warner Brothers, nobody's responsible. He is, the kid who did it is, but we have to say, yeah, that stuff exists. And when we put stuff out there, and when we say stuff, even when we go on Facebook and post stuff and start fights with people, Bob, we have to be really mindful of what we do and say. And if you're okay with that, if you make hostile and you say, well, you know what, hey, freedom of speech, I can do whatever I want. Yeah, but be ready for somebody to take that the wrong way and either be angry at you and want to do something to you for the arts that you've made, or they're going to imitate it because they're mentally ill, or you've hit them at the wrong time, or it became an influence in some way that wound up hurting people. You know, you just have to be ready for it. I don't think you have to stop doing what you do, but I think a little mindfulness can go a long way.
Could be really defensive, I think, whenever, for people like us, again, film people, whenever something like this happens, and it hasn't happened in a long time, but you mentioned the Child's Play thing and Natural Born Killers and a couple of times.
New Jack City.
When it's been a big story and the thrust of the debate or whatever it is, the argument on TV, are should we ban this? Should we ban the book? Should we ban the movie?
Now, oh, come on.
I believe both sides. I believe, like you said, like Rob said, this guy knew exactly what he was doing, whether or not he thought he was a joker or not. I mean, he dyed his hair red, which makes no sense. He intended to do this, and it was you could not miss this thing. This was a huge event, and people lining up. This was Star Wars, you know. He might have done it at Star Wars.
He probably would have. If it was coming out,
and I bet you Warner Brothers wishes he did it at the Avengers. And I even heard a theory that Marvel set this guy up to put down the Dark Knight so that Avengers would stay the number one opening of all time. You know, there's all kinds of
like it makes any difference really to. Well, I mean, they're all making their billions. They don't really care. I don't think that much about the other guys making money.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're a millionaire and I'm a millionaire, and we're not bored, but we're at that level, and we both achieved that, and we don't have to worry about, you know, where we're going to find our next meal, or how, you know, is Todd Sheets ever going to pay us for doing a radio show, or whatever. We're worried about our next dollar. If you're at that stage, then it becomes a game. You know, it's like Bill Gates. Every dollar is a point in a video game of, you know, this big video game
of life. Yeah,
you know?
I don't think we have to worry too much. But I'd like to say that the people, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a couple of people that have talked to the guy that came out and said they felt like at that time, like say the Dark Knight would have been in December instead of now, that he would have picked whatever big event was happening that weekend. It could have even been a sporting event even, because he had a plan and he wanted a captive audience to enact it. That's what they're getting from him as they talk to him. He really doesn't know a damn thing about he hasn't even seen this movie. He doesn't know a damn thing about the character. He knows what everybody knows in the general public about it, you know. But
how could he have? If he would have sat down, you know, and watched it, he probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, he probably would have felt better after the movie. It made me feel better.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's entirely true. I mean, today it was somebody in the prison said that he asked them how the movie ended. He was very curious as to how the movie ended, and naturally the guy, you know, whatever it was, a guard or something, said, you know, it took all the strength I had not to just punch him in the face for asking that question. But I think the guy knew enough about Batman. I think
it ends with everyone getting shot. That's what you tell him.
Yeah, basically. Well, you know, here's an eerie thing. I'm still trying to figure out the whole time frame because I hear like 20 minutes after the movie started, 15 minutes after the movie started, or whatever, is when he went outside and got his guns and came back in and opened fire.
I guess he went outside during the trailers, and then he came back because it took him a while to put all that crap on.
Okay.
Well, that was some of the early eyewitness reports was that they heard the shooting of this guy and thought it was part of the movie because there was shooting going on screen, and they thought he was dressed up in a getup, you know, as a work to make people laugh or whatever, because that was what was on screen. So it makes sense that it could have been during that scene, but you're right, it smells of conspiracy if the guy knew a movie that nobody has seen and that he would seemingly have no access to because he's not in the industry, you know, or there are no bootlegs or anything because it hadn't even opened. Why would he know to come in at that time so that his gunfire would be covered by gunfire on screen? Sounds kind of weird, but it's unfounded.
Yeah, it could be just a weird, weird coincidence.
It sounds like somebody post story saying, yeah, it was just like that scene in the movie. The guys had the gas mask and blah, 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 and this guy came. Sounds like somebody polishing the story afterwards, because unless you can get eyewitnesses that say, you know, listen, there were also eyewitnesses that said he made a phone call and then walked out that door, or that he opened the door and there was somebody out there he was talking to. Something, you know, there's been early reports that said there was a second person involved. And, you know, the whole you know, the mind control aspect of it, you know, to get a little, you know, kooky here, the kind of conspiratorial angle was that, you know, here's a guy who does all this stuff. He's rigged his apartment to blow up, you know, the whole half the block, but yet he surrenders in his car like a coward, you know, like he was doing this big thing. And then all of a sudden it was almost like somebody turned off the switch on the dude. And then he just gave up the apartment to the cops. Yeah, don't go in the apartment, you'll blow up. But why then rig it to kill all the cops? It just seemed... So there were a few things that happened early on that were like, huh, there's something major going on here.
Yeah, his plans to be that he would... Because he was dressed like a SWAT guy or something. And apparently the first cops who arrived on the scene thought he was a cop because of the way he was dressed. And so it seems like maybe his plan was for that to happen, and then he could disappear in the chaos because he looked like a cop. And then they would figure out who he was, and they would go to his house to look for him, and that's when they would blow up everything.
Yeah,
that seems to be the plan that he had, but why did he surrender?
That's the Ocean's 11 work, as we like to call it in the business, yeah. Get out in the chaos dressed like a cop. You guys never saw Ocean's 11, I guess, the remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that seemed to work to a certain point, and then he just gave up.
Yeah.
So.
So they did think he was, and then all of a sudden somebody decided to question him. Who are you with, or whatever. So, but wasn't he sitting in his car? Why would a cop be sitting in a civilian car on the scene of this crazy massacre, you know? I don't know. We'll never know the whole story, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think one thing I heard was they thought he was a SWAT guy, but he was wearing a groin protector, which is something that they don't wear for whatever reason. It's too hard to maneuver or whatever. But they saw that and thought, wait a second, this costume isn't quite right.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't get the red hair thing. If you really did say he's a Joker, if you really think he's a Joker.
Again, it sounds like someone added after the fact. Yeah, you know, a kid thinks he's the Joker or something, I guess, you know, blah, blah. You know. Because he told what?
The cops who arrested him, allegedly, that was part of the story. He said, I'm the Joker.
Yeah, but that came from a journalist. The actual police department, because I called them for my show, had not released one press report, had not released one statement, and would not give us anything at all. They said all they would tell us is we have not released any statements, and the chief of police never said the things that were in the paper. That's all the lady would tell me.
Yeah, I mean, that's also the thing you have to think about is somebody who's so meticulous in planning something like this and is so obsessed with something, if he was, we don't know, if he was so obsessed with Batman and being the Joker and... you know, he's planned this thing out, and the time it took to rig that apartment and to you know, all the money he spent on these weapons and ammunition, to then go ahead and botch the whole thing by mistakenly dyeing his hair red instead of green, doesn't really make sense, you know, if he's doing it as the Joker. Doesn't make sense. He might have, listened. He did this whole thing, and then they said, well, who do you think you are, the Joker? He's, I'm the Joker. Now, it could have went down like that. Or,
well, and the first guy he shot was wearing a Joker shirt, which kind of is weird.
Why? What is that?
I know it's true, though. That's what they were talking. This kid was like, yeah, my best friend, he was wearing a Joker shirt. If he was thinking he's a Joker, why would he shoot a guy wearing his shirt? I was laughing about that.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think this guy's as delusional as everyone says he is. I think, you know, he's severely sociopathic and psychotic, but I don't, you know, look, he could have said it sarcastically to the cops, you know, he got caught, and he said, what's your name, kid, the Joker, you know, he seems like, I'm Batman, you know, like a joke, you know, like sarcastic, not that he really thought he was, and that's only something the psychiatrists will have to figure out if they ever get a crack at this guy.
And of course, the only reason it wasn't twice as bad is because his assault rifle jammed, and he had to ditch it. His initial plan, I guess, was to just take everybody out with, you know, he had 1,000 rounds of ammo or something in that thing, and it jammed after like 50 shots. And so he threw it down and went for a shotgun and took out a few more people. But, you know, had his plan gone as as planned, you know, it probably would have been at least twice as many people dead. Who knows how many people injured? I mean, I don't even know how many people were in the theater, but
it had to be packed. Probably 100 plus, right? I mean,
at least 100. That's not even that's a very small theater. I mean, I don't know, but and you know, in the same way that we get so defensive about banning books and movies and that discussion, the gun people go the opposite way, and that to me, and I'm not like an activist, a gun control activist or anything. I grew up around guns. I'm not a person who's a stranger to guns. My father was a gun collector. I learned how to shoot from an early age. I have my own guns, blah, blah, blah. But the gun people, instantly, whenever something like this happens, they have to say, oh, don't blame guns. It was, and you know that the NRA was just praying so hard that this guy acquired these guns illegally. Because then they could say, well, it's not about the laws. Laws work. This is a criminal. But it turns out everything that he had, he got legally.
Mm-hmm.
And in a very, very short amount of time. And it didn't raise any red flags. You can order an assault. You can go to a gun show or wherever he bought it, buy an assault rifle, and then he bought, like, 3,000 rounds of ammo on the Internet. And that stuff isn't regulated. And to me, that is the fact that he did all this legally says that the laws are screwed up. And that's what we should be thinking about. It isn't about taking people's guns away. It isn't about, nobody wants to throw the Second Amendment out the window and ban guns. But this is just crazy.
It's about the over-access to it. It's the complete the complete disregard for regulation, especially on the Internet, where you can do that kind of thing, and it's no one questions. There's no red flag goes up, and then you get a phone call, or you get an email, or somebody knocks on your door and says, hey, we're just checking in. So you ordered a lot of ammunition. Everything okay? Some people would say that's an infringement on your rights. If it's available, you should be able to buy it, and it's nobody's business what you do with it, as long as you don't hurt somebody. If I want to stockpile weapons for the upcoming zombie apocalypse in my basement, I should be able to do that, as long as I'm not killing the people who are living. And that's the other end of the argument, is that, you know what, this one guy out of the thousands and thousands of people who order thousands and thousands of rounds of ammunition every year on the Internet, this one guy does this thing, and you're going to take it away from everybody? That's what their argument would be to that. And I'm not saying they're right. I think that there should be some kind of regulation. There is, except for war, there really is no need for that type of stuff. What do they call them? Barrel rounds or whatever they are. Those clips of 100. What are you going to use that for? Hunting deer? I mean, it's crazy. No, you should be able to defend yourself, though. And if it's legal, you should have be able to carry a gun if you want to. But you shouldn't be able to walk around with bazookas. You know, if I had a bazooka in my car, I'd be in jail. So yeah, I'm glad I don't have access to them.
I think they're legal. I did a little bit of research on this just to see what the laws were and so forth. And you would guess that buying a tank wouldn't be legal, but it is. It's legal to buy a tank if you can afford it. And now, what possible reason could there be for it being okay to buy a tank?
People collect tanks, war reenactors. They do. What's his name? I just watched a Lemmy documentary. He goes to some guy's house. He's like one of these Nazi freaks. He collects all. He's not a not the guy's not a Nazi, but he's like a Nazi war. Uniforms and guns and all Nazi paraphernalia, and he has a Nazi tank. The guy owns a tank. And it's operational, I guess. I don't know if it fires, but... So, you know what? If you want to own a tank, you should own a tank. But if you use it to hurt somebody, you don't own a tank anymore, and you go to jail. I mean, the problem is that there's not just, like, Wild West violence going on in the streets. At least not that, you know, violence that's not drug related or gang related or that has an outlaw nature to it. You know, yeah, if you're an outlaw, if you run with gangs, the biker gangs, or you know, the Bloods or the Crips, whatever it might be, you live in a ghetto and there's drug corners being fought over, it's gonna be gunplay. It's the way it is. Accept it. But you know, the average, you know, these people who are buying guns are not going out killing people. That's their argument, and it's actually true. Now, that doesn't mean they should just be, because, hey, we've been good, we haven't killed anybody, now we want more weapons. That doesn't necessarily mean that should happen, but I'm not scared that every movie I go into the rest of my life, I don't got to think about it, but I'm not going to be scared to go into a theater because thinking that somebody's going to have a gun, or I'm not going to leave my apartment saying, oh, somebody's going to have a gun and shoot me. It's always a possibility. You can get mugged anywhere, or killed anywhere, random bullet, a stray bullet from some battle somewhere at a playground. I don't know. It just needs a little bit of regulation that can go a long way. But
absolutely.
The truth is this kid could have went in there with a pipe bomb that he built at home because he was a chemist, neuroscience major who's smart and could build explosives with stuff that he found at the corner hardware store and thrown that pipe bomb into the theater and killed 25 people with a pipe bomb. Could have done that if he wanted to.
He
could have, is what I'm saying, is that if you, you know, maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he would have just, forget it. He finds guns sexier and he would have done that. But the point is, if somebody wants to kill people and hurt people, they will find a way and they'll throw a rock at your head if they don't have a gun, if they want to hurt you.
Let's make it hard. It should be hard to do that. That's the only point I take away from all this.
Then we get into a babysitting, which is, it tends to be, you know, the response is that you get into a babysitting, I told you so, this is how, you know, kind of like nanny state, where you have like Michael Bloomberg here in New York telling you how big of the soda you can drink or whatever because it hurts people, or telling you you can't smoke a cigarette here or there because it's hurtful to other people. You know, people telling you what to do. It gets into that kind of the grit of America. It gets under people's skin because even if they know, even if I, you know, I know assault rifles are deadly and that in the wrong hands, like this clown, they're going to be horrible and people are going to be killed and for life, you know, crippled and emotionally scarred. But yet, when you come back and say, oh, yeah, get rid of all guns, you know, when these extreme liberals, you know, oh, that's why guns have to be outlawed, I start to side with the, you know, hey, I'll take the one or two nuts every year as long as you just stay out of my life. You know, I'm willing to deal with the couple of crazies, but, you know, so there's got to be a middle ground is what I'm saying. It's a very gray area. There's got to be a safe middle ground where freedoms are not being infringed upon too much or not at all, and that, you know, we're not putting ourselves into a situation where we're all looking over each other's shoulder or looking over our shoulder and pulling out guns on each other because we think there's danger.
Well, you know, just because most people drive okay doesn't mean we should get rid of speed limit and traffic lights. I mean, and there isn't a huge government lobby trying to get those things overthrown because they're infringing upon our rights. I mean, it's the same thing. An automobile and a gun are two tools that can be used for fun or they can kill people.
Yeah.
And so we have regulations. We have regulations about how fast you can drive your car, where you can drive it, when you have to stop, you know, where you can drive it.
And if you can have a drink while you're driving, you know, just chug a beer, chug a beer while you're driving, right? But we all accept, even if we don't consciously accept these rules, like just like I accept the fact that hey, if you're walking, you know, if we're both walking down a very small hallway and you were there first, I'm going to move to the right so that you pass or whatever. These are all these unspoken little. Kind of, it's almost like traffic rules are like a courtesy rule, but I think gun owners, knowing the number of gun owners in this country, I think gun owners have been pretty courteous as a whole, and they're not out there killing people on a daily basis. Murders by guns, you know, there are accidents happen, but, you know, most of them are,
gang-related with illegal guns or stolen guns or whatever. But you can't say that. It's almost like you're saying that giving everybody guns or whatever guns they want is the same as letting everybody just drive however they want, however fast or reckless as they want to all the time. It's like, no, because the people who own those guns aren't being reckless on a regular basis for you to say there needs to be more regulation. And that's why they'll fight you on that, because they're saying, like, we're not doing anything. I'm defending myself. I have this. It doesn't matter what I have here. I've never used it to hurt anyone. Therefore, I am not guilty of anything.
Is something like this going to make it worse? Are more people going to do it because now they're going to see how easy it is?
Gun sales in Colorado went up 41% after the shooting there. And you know what? If I lived there, I think emotionally you want to go do it. But you know what? Even not living there and living here, I said to myself, it'd be a good time to get a gun. Maybe a good time to just have a gun. You know, the economy's tanking. The country's insane. People are getting more and more just out of their minds on the street every day. Everybody's pissed off. Nobody knows why. Nobody's got money. You know, everybody's mad at the one percenters. Everybody's mad at this guy and that guy. It seems like the world's closing in on us. And your instinct is to protect yourself. And whether that's a knife or a gun or a piece of plywood, whatever it is, you have this instinct to protect what you do have and your friends and family. So, you know, and because guns are available in certain degrees in certain states, depending on where you are and how easy it is to get, you think about that. You know, I have a few friends who own a gun. They own a handgun. You wouldn't even know it. People, you look at them and say, just an unassuming nerd-like character. Yeah, they have a gun in the closet, you know, locked up in the case. Just in case something happens, just in case they need it, yeah? and it's their right, and they're never going to hurt anyone with it, unless they have to defend themselves. So when you don't encroach on that because of a few bad apples, as they say.
Well, I don't think that it would encroach at all by looking at this specific case and saying, you know, this guy bought X number of guns in a 3-month period and didn't set off any red flags. That's the problem.
No, that is the problem. That needs more policing. I agree with you.
Yeah.
We're not even arguing. We're just
putting a handgun under their dresser. That's a whole different thing, you know. And the NRA, I mean, are insanely strong. And you know, Obama's in their back pocket. Romney's in their back pocket. Everybody is. All the politicians. That's why neither of these guys would come out and say anything about guns. And
I know. They both, you know, Romney and Obama both agreed not to say anything after this, you know, even though I think Obama supports, you know, an assault weapons ban, but he's not actively pursuing new laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won't do it. He will bury you. They'll bury you. But the thing is, what year was it? There was the federal assault weapons ban. When was that? That was just tanked, wasn't it? It was like 10 years.
It lapsed under George Bush, I believe, and he could have extended it, but he chose not to. So yeah,
it's like 5 or 6 years ago, right?
I think it was 2004 is when it
expired. It expired, and then Bush did not seek to. To keep it, to reinstate it. Okay. And no one, and Obama since has not done anything. As much as the liberals love this guy, he's the joker, man. He's got everybody fooled. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious, man. This guy, I haven't seen him do anything for liberals yet, but every liberal loves this guy. I just don't get it. And believe me, I don't care either way. I'll go where the wind goes, man, with politics. You know, it's like, hey, you know, we'll deal with whatever happens. I'm not going to go out and vote for the guy or not vote for him or whatever. I don't care. I really don't. I exist as my own island in whatever ocean that they throw at me. But, you know, this guy's a joker, man. And Mitt Romney's a joker, too. So just to even the field there. I don't know what that makes me, but I don't know.
Riddler.
It makes me the Riddler. riddle me this, Mr. Ree. Okay, so we got off the movie thing and got into the weapons thing, which is good. I think that's good. I think we needed to talk about that. I think Todd fell asleep because he wanted to talk about Bruce Wayne having cocktails with Bruce Wayne and giving him a kiss on the cheek or something, you know? But
you're an evil bastard.
Oh, come on. Hey, listen, are you scared to go into a theater? Because didn't AMC ban the dressing up now in the theaters?
Some of them did, yeah. Well, you can still wear costumes. They just don't want you to cover your face.
Are you still up? There goes your costume, bud.
Nah, because I know the managers.
Oh, you know the managers. Well, let me tell you something. Are you afraid that you're going to walk into a movie one day dressed in that get-up and somebody's going to pull a handgun out on you because they think something's going down? There was something here in Jersey the other day. Did you see this, Mr. Ree? Right here in New Jersey. Yeah, somebody went during a movie, opened the emergency door and then started mumbling. So sat back down and started mumbling something. And so somebody called 911 from the theater and they took this guy out, shut the movie off. I think it was Dark Knight. So they didn't get to see the movie about three quarters of the way in. Some jerk goes out and opens. Yeah, it's the worst thing you could do. I was like, well, maybe the guy needed some air or something. Well, then go out the regular exit, man.
Maybe he was puking.
It doesn't matter, you know? I can tell you, right now, if there's a fire in the theater that you're in, don't use the emergency exit because it'll freak people out. Go out the regular way, even if that's where the fire is.
I didn't even know that I work in a movie theater. I didn't know that theaters had emergency exits. I don't work in the kind of theater. I work in an art house theater, so it's a smaller scale. And
your theater's a fire trap. Let me tell you something. And so was that other theater you used to work with. A fire trap. Let me tell you, if somebody came in there with something or if, you know, somebody lit a cigarette and put it out on the carpet and it didn't go out, that's going to be the last time they watch some kind of silly Merchant Ivory film that you guys play there at your theater.
Don't tell me you play that.
I've got a feeling they're all that way. I mean, they're movie theaters. There's an exit at the back, and then there's another exit at the other side. Exit on both sides, and that's all.
Yeah, on both sides at the bottom. See, that's the thing. But stadium seating, like in the out of the city. Now in the city, I've seen some theaters, like the couple theaters on 42nd Street that still exist, which are now like corporate multiplexes. You go in, they're kind of the exit doors. You know, you're going in these two doors. And then you're at the top of the stadium seating, and then way at the bottom there are two exits. But like some of the stadium seating theaters in Jersey and suburbs, you go in at the bottom. Like you come down this hallway, and then you hang a left, and you look up, and there's the stadium seating. And you walk all the way up to the top, let's say if you like to sit in the back, like I do, because I like throwing things at people. You go at the top row, and then there's a projection booth window, and there's no exits. There's nothing up there because you're essentially at the ceiling of the building. You're at the top. There are no exits and stairs. So you have to go down either the left or right side to get out where those emergency exits are, which you're required to do. Now, that's what I meant when we started the show. I said, you're like a trapped rat in there. I can imagine what these people felt like being jarred out of the film and then this happening. Who knows? I don't know the setup of the theater. I don't think anybody's released pictures of what the theater looked like. But
no, just the outside.
Yeah, just the outside. Just the outside. Well, you remember the first video that came out, Ree? Do you remember?
Oh, my God.
You remember? The police were pulling that poor guy dressed like Batman. I thought it was Todd Sheets. There was a guy dressed like Batman. They were leading him out of the theater. I said, oh, no, it's Todd.
There's nothing funny about the situation except that, it's funny for just it's absurd funny. I mean that little shaky cam, you know. And again, of course, it's a horrible situation, and my heart goes out to all the people who were involved.
What are you, Christian Bale? Stop it already! I know. But it's inherent that we know it's terrible. You know, it's like Nolan writing a letter. Fuck you, Nolan.
Okay.
Sorry.
Be nice to Nolan, you dirty bastard.
Oh, get out of there. I told you this the other day, Ree. Nolan, with that stupid letter that he wrote, that insincere crap Brit jerk. And I like his movies. I'm just saying, you know, oh, this senseless massacre and blah, blah, get out of here with that. And Bale showing up with Warner Brothers hiding in the trees with the cameras, showing up to the hospital. Get out of here. Get out of here. Enough of that. But anyway, so that's a
don't make me yell.
Get out of here. Oh, yo, come on. It's like Sean Penn going to Haiti, living in a tent. Get out of here, you clown. They're shipping in all the supplies to him secretly. All the stuff he wants is like, you know, filtered water and everything. Get out of here. Get out of here. All of you liberal jerks. You make me sick.
Bale is awesome.
Yeah, nice guy. He went through to the theater. That was very sweet of him.
Just don't walk in the middle of one of his shots.
Yeah, hey, exactly. You know what? And he had the Batman face on, too. Yeah, he had the Batman face on. Like, he was like, you know, he's putting on that, you know, he's got that, now he's got a goatee, you know, he's putting on an angry face, like, yeah, this is my concerned face. You know, it's that, like, he couldn't have
you
a laugh.
You guys need to be nice to him, man.
Go there and have a laugh. With the nurses are standing next to him laughing with this huge smile. The doctors and nurses, they got these giant smiles. They're like, we're meeting Christian Bale. And then he's sitting around,
you know, you got to give the guy credit. He didn't even have to go there. He did it because he felt like he wanted to be there.
There was a bunch of...
The last thing I want to see is Batman after that experience of getting shot up in the Batman movie. You see that jerk. What if I got shot in the face and I lived, but the last thing I saw was Christian Bale talking on screen, and then he walks in, and I'm having a flashback, and then I go bonkers.
Actually, everyone pretty much said how amazing it was to meet their hero, and a lot of them expressed that they hope Warner Brothers will let them, you know, bring the movie in. They want to finish the movie. And that's how I would have been. I would have been the same way.
Well, that's fine. Yeah, no, they're not blaming the movie. I'm just saying the situation is, you know, it's a little scary. The last thing I want to see is Batman after the Batman massacre. That's the last thing I want to see is Batman.
Well, it'd be like the woman who got her face ripped off by the chimpanzee. Like if somebody came in a Planet of the Apes costume.
You're right.
And, hey, how are you?
Exactly. Mr. Reed gets it.
The last thing you want to see
is the monkey. You know, that's it. I don't want to see Christian Bale. I've had it with Christian Bale. Even if I know he's not responsible. I know Bale didn't do it. I know the movie didn't do it. The Warner Brothers didn't shoot me. I know that. But it's just the same. It's the same way. Hey, the girl broke up with me at Starbucks. I'm not going back to Starbucks for a while because the girl broke up with me at Starbucks. It's that philosophy. That's all I'm saying, Todd. Get Bale out of there. Where were you when the ship was going down, Batman? Now you're here in the hospital? That's what I would have said to Batman if he came to the hospital. Where were you when I needed you? Clown. Where's Robin? Oh. Maybe he can help.
Man, you gotta quit being rude to Batman, you dirty bastards.
Okay, why don't you go to Aurora with the costume, Todd?
Should I do it?
Did you think of the movie? Did you like it?
Oh, yeah, I did. Very much.
Everything that you had hoped, or...
Dude, I didn't even think I was going to live to see the movie, so it was like a dream come true sitting there. And what the character went through in the film was really hard for me to watch because a lot of it I experienced myself personally, and it was really... It really touched me, you know. It was really a great experience for me. I just feel bad that, you know, other people didn't feel that same experience. I really feel terrible about that.
Were you in a midnight screening on Thursday night?
I was.
When did you hear about the shooting?
That was afterwards. I did a lot of work for AMC during that period, and I did the press screening, and then I did that the next night. I was in the suit about 13 hours for both nights, and... It was incredible. I mean, everyone had an amazing time, and it was everything you'd hoped it would be. You know, lots of little kids out there were just like, I don't know how to describe it, man. It was just pretty magical, and it just sucks that innocent people had to get hurt during all that, dude. It just kind of takes away from everything that everyone was doing kind of around the country. I mean, we were all rejoicing and enjoying, you know, like we talked about earlier, the movie theater, and it's just really terrible that this horrible tragedy had to occur, and catch people in the middle of it all just sucks.
No, I really meant all that stuff, man, that I said about the theaters, and it's religious. It's such a sacred place for all, especially us, because we're nerds or fanboys, whatever you want to call us, movie geeks.
it's really sacred, man. Even if it's a lousy movie, even if you're going to see a drama, it is a place of, something changes when you walk into that theater, whether it's empty or it's filled. It's just like going to church. And I spent the early part of my life going to church a lot. And it is like going to church. It's very similar in that feeling that you get. There's a reverence. There's a comfort to have that broken by anyone for any reason. Even somebody on a cell phone talking. That's why people are so crazy about people talking in the theater. People are punching each other over that.
Well, of course,
because it's a sacred place.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even about having a good time. It's about being, give me my little tiny space within this larger space of communal experience. It's not a concert. It's not, it's unlike any other communal experience. Because you're being taken somewhere. You're not watching something necessarily. You are being engulfed by something. This situation, and so all your senses are being really taken in by this thing. It's not like going to watch, sitting down and watching somebody performing on a violin or something. It's not even the same thing. It's just completely not. It is an alternate reality. Movies are an alternate reality, no matter how you watch them. But the best way to watch them is in a theater, because you get the best experience of that alternate reality that is a film. And whether it's made good or not, doesn't matter. If it's made decently, you will feel that. And Nolan's very good at it.
He is.
Very good at it. He's a master.
It's true.
So.
You're out of time.
Hey, man. story of my life, brother.
I know.
I was born out of time, man. I see Pete came on. Pete came on Skype.
Yep. And then he went away. And then he's back. And then he went away.
Yeah, I see him. He's really going at it. Really going at it. He's having a hard time. Let's keep not only the Aurora, Colorado victims in our prayers. Let's keep 42nd Street Pete in our prayers.
There you go.
Let's hope he works out this situation he's having with some other fans. Can you cut that part out? Send that to Pete as an MP3. Let him hear it. We gotta have Pete on the show when this quiets down a little bit. I thought he was gonna try to hijack the show, man. I saw his name come up on Skype. You want to go hour two, man? Hour two, Pete. Get him on. Bring him in, Todd. Let's go hour two. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out, man. Let's get everybody on the phone that's involved in this, and let's work it out like men. I'm buying the beers. All right, let's work it out. There's no reason to fight, man. There's seven guys that like these movies in the world, and we're all fighting with each other. It's madness. We're going to beat each other up at conventions. Used to be a time where there was one convention a year, where you had to go on a plane to go to the convention. Now there's so many conventions, everybody's beating everybody up at conventions. Why doesn't a guy get the assault rifles and go into a convention? There you go. Stay out of the movie theaters.
No. I understand it. I don't condone it.
I understand it. Yeah. Hey, at least I'm not a coward like Sean Penn. Coming out against the violence. Yet he's in the violent movie in the trailer with the people shooting through the back of the screen. You remember that?
Yep.
You see that? That's a Sean Penn movie, and he's the biggest liberal coming out against the guns, blah, blah, blah. He's in the movie with the Tommy gun shooting the people in the movie theater. There's something going crazy here. It's not me.
Well, it might be you.
Well, it's me. It's, this stuff's making me crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't say it's not you.
Hmm?
I'm surprised that Ted Nugent didn't make a statement.
Oh, I think
John Stamos made a statement, for Christ.
I think didn't John Lovitz make one too? Oh, no, Jason Alexander. Sorry, I had to get those two mixed up.
No,
I think Nugent's been put in his place for a little while.
Yeah?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
We're out of time!
All right.
This is for the archives, man. If you're still listening, you are an archive listener, and we really love and adore you more than the live listeners. Screw those people. Those are archive people only. Ted Nugent. Let's talk about Ted Nugent, man. Let's keep going. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to talk about Ted Nugent. Name a movie that Ted Nugent was in, Mr. Ree. You are our resident film reviewer and expert on all things obscura.
I would guess that it had to be, he had to be playing himself in probably a performance scene. Could be Rhodey. No. Could be. I don't know. Am I close with Rhodey?
I think you're mixing him up with Meatloaf.
No, I know Meatloaf is the star of Rhodey, but I'm guessing it's a movie like that. It's about the music industry, or there's like lots of live performances. Get Crazy. That was more of a new wave movie, though, right?
Well, he's done more than you would think. Todd?
I'm here. I'm thinking about this. I think, movies. Wasn't he? He was like in some beer horse movie thing he did. This stupid movie. Man, my phone's going crazy. He was in Tapeheads.
Oh anybody could Google it.
No. I'm thinking he was in Nightmare on Elm Street. One of those.
He's in The Dream Child. That's right.
Yeah,
Nightmare
yeah.
on Elm Street, The Dream Child. Some horror fans you guys turned out to be. I can always stump the horror guys.
Yeah, but he wasn't in much of the movie. It was just like a little 2-second thing.
So what? He was still in it. No, but Tapeheads is the movie I was talking about.
Tapeheads, he was like, he played an egomaniacal rock star.
Fancy that.
Yeah, yes, go figure. Did. It was a stretch.
Yes. But yes, he did. Yes, he was in Tapeheads, the famous VHS film from 1988 with John Cusack and that other jerk. What's his name? The one who's married to Sarandon, or was? What was his name? Tim Robbins. That jerk. Yeah. Another jerk liberal. I love doing that. Mr. Ree hates it. He's so left-wing. He hates when I do that. That Tim Robbins, another violent purveyor. I'm going to make money off violence and then talk out against it.
Well, now, how does Tim Robbins make money off of violence? Sean Penn, I get it, but...
Tim Robbins he's in those violent. He's in those violent movies with Tom Cruise at War of the Worlds. Tom Cruise kills him. That was violent. Shawshank Redemption, that was violent. Come on, man.
That was violent.
No, yeah, he doesn't.
Well, people everywhere are sticking shivs in people's back because of that movie.
Okay, fine. Tim Robbins, not a violent guy, not a violent movie star.
I think Morgan Freeman is the one you want to look at. He's in Dark Knight Rises and Shawshank Redemption.
Now I smell a conspiracy that we can investigate for the next show. What do you say, Mr. Ree? Anything to add before I wrap it up?
I think we hit all the bases, pretty much. I think we did.
Yeah. Knocked it out of the park.
What'd you say, son?
I said we knocked it out of the park.
Tore it up, man. Tore it up. And we tore up Todd in that costume, man.
You guys are mean to me.
Tore it up, man. Now, when you say you were in the suit for 3 days, you just hang around the house like that?
No. I was, like I said, I was doing stuff for AMC. I was doing
Who's
it for
AMC,
Allied
the channel, the
AMC
channel?
Theaters, man.
Oh, okay, all right.
So then I had like the Allied Theater people on Wednesday for the press. I had AMC on Thursday.
Big you premium. Go out there and they take pictures of you, like with little kids and stuff.
It's great, man.
Batmobile. You have a Batmobile?
I need a Batmobile. You going to hook me up? Is that part of the budget?
There's a guy here in Jersey that goes around. He's got a Batmobile.
Help me out.
Let me ask you something. Do these places pay you for your appearances?
We do have payment. I don't accept money to help as Batman because Batman wouldn't accept
money.
So what I do...
Batman wouldn't accept money. The richest guy in Gotham.
He doesn't need it.
Money.
He doesn't need it.
He's accepting money from someone for something.
Well, of course he is, but it ain't this. It ain't helping kids. It ain't trying to do the right thing and doing... I mean, you know, I took 1,300 pictures. The estimate was there's about 4,100 people there on Thursday night. I took about 1,300 pictures. And a lot of them were kids, man, and the looks on their faces and their, you know, this one guy came up to me and he shows me his phone and it's got a picture of me with a kid from Comic-Con like a year ago. And he's like, hey, man, you know, check this out. My son won't let me take it off my phone. He made an 8x10 of it, put it on his son's wall, and this kid changed him, man. Meeting Batman was like the greatest day. He said for 2 weeks, that's all he would talk about everywhere he went.
Now that's when you take the father aside and go, you know, between you and me, it's going to cost you 20. If you want me to sign,
ah,
20,
get out of here.
Sign your item 20. Well, if you want me to, yeah, if you want me to sign, you want to sign my item, it's 30. You know, you do. You know, that's. I'm surprised you're not. No, but I'm saying the theater should give you what they call an honorarium for showing up. They should give you $100 or some free passes or something. You know, so just for your day, for sitting here in the 95-degree weather, sweating under the costume.
Actually, they did give me passes and stuff. They gave me passes. They gave me drinks. They gave me an honorary, like, 24-karat gold pin thing that said AMC
okay.
Gives Smiles. They gave me all kinds of stuff.
All right, so you get something from them. It's
well,
not,
yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, it's not exactly a payment thing where I'm getting money, but it's a deal where they're helping me out, and I'm helping them out, and we have a good time.
Why don't you talk to the manager about, you know, hey, AMC, maybe you'd like to sponsor the Movies Hate You show.
I thought we already had a sponsor.
No, our sponsor's gone, man.
Oh,
you
gone. Must have made them mad.
I didn't make them mad. They just, you know, they can't compete in this market, man. You go, you know, they're trying to sell DVDs for $10, and you go to Amazon, it's 25 cents.
I know.
Yeah. You know, it's a stupid market right now. You know, they tried to do something good, and it's just not working.
Understand,
so, you know, they believe me. They wanted to keep going. Believe me.
I believe you. I do believe you.
You know, but what are you going to do? So we're looking for a new sponsor. Mr. Reed, you have anybody in mind?
Nike's pretty good.
Mm.
Nike, the shoe people, they make shoes.
Mikey? Swoosh. I never heard of them.
They have like a swoosh on the side of them? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shoes. Yeah.
Well, call them up. Call them up and see what we can do with them.
Well, Heineken is another good one.
Okay, call them up.
Malt beverage.
Get on the phone, Mr. Reed. Do you have a phone?
I'm on the phone now. I can't get on the phone, but when I hang up, I'll get on the phone.
We're going to hang up because we're way over. We're like 11 minutes over.
Hey, 11 minutes over. Excellent. You want me to wrap this up, Todd?
Wrap her up, man.
All right. So, that was our show, boys and girls. Movies Hate You. Until next time. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you at the movies. Can you imagine how corny that is, right?
Movies Hate You show.
Hey, Rob, save me the aisle seat.
Yeah, remember that? Save me the aisle seat. I'm trying to think of every lame, like, close out. And we'll see you at the movies.
Just say goodnight.
Wait, what else? Give me another one. Save me the aisle seat. I love that one.
Goodnight.
He's not your kind. You never get tired of putting me down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find. Don't let them make up your mind. Don't you look good? You'll be a woman soon. Take my hand, girl. You'll be the woman soon. You'll be the one. I've misunderstood for all of my life, but with this same girl that cuts like a knife, the boy's no good. Well, I finally found what I'm looking for. But if they get a chance, I'll end it for sure. Surely I would. Baby, how can I?